arguments boiled over as a small block of Republicans tried to impeach Wisconsin's top elections administrator. It's Friday, January 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Rich Kramer has the latest on a bipartisan bill that would create state-run savings accounts for every child in Wisconsin. And state lawmakers are continuing to push for a deal that would simplify income tax filing for Wisconsinites who work in Minnesota. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Tempers flared in the state assembly yesterday over attempts by a small block of Republicans to impeach Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. Earlier this week, one of those Republicans was ruled out of order for trying to bring the impeachment effort to the floor. Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha denounced his party's leadership for ignoring the effort.
When we as members allow the abuse of power by leaders of this chamber, we erode the prestige and the honor of the assembly, and we damage the legitimacy of our democratic republic.
A Republican assembly leader responded that all lawmakers must follow proper protocol. Earlier in the day, Republican Majority Leader Tyler August called the impeachment effort, quote, a show for the cameras. Wolf has been a target of debunked conspiracy theories about election fraud in 2020. GOP leaders have said that they don't support her, but they still want to move forward to the next election. Every child born or adopted in Wisconsin would automatically get a state-run savings account under a bipartisan bill being circulated in the legislature. Rich Kramer reports the goal is to encourage parents to save for kids' college expenses or future retirement.
The legislation from Republican State Representative John Mocco and Democratic State Representative Evan Goyke would create a WisKids savings account program. The state would make an initial investment of $25 in each account. Families and even philanthropic organizations could make future contributions. Mocco says the WisKids initiative builds on existing state-run college savings programs. He says unused money generated from administering those programs would fund the new initiative.
So this proposal has a zero fiscal effect to the state budget because that money is already accruing there, and so about 60,000 kids a year would be going into here.
The bill is similar to one authored by the lawmakers in 2021, which failed to pass. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Assembly Republicans approved a bill yesterday that would give parents the power to review instructional materials for their children. Parents could also decide the names and pronouns their kids can use at school and to opt them out of subjects deemed controversial. If parents feel their rights have been violated, they could also sue districts for up to $10,000. Republicans say they're enshrining parents' rights to be the ultimate authority in their children's education. Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer argued it's about something else.
It is about allowing one or a few parents to limit the rights of students and the majority of families to access a safe, inclusive, honest learning environment.
The bill passed the assembly on pure party lines. It'll now head to the state senate. Governor Tony Evers has vetoed similar legislation in the past, and he's expected to do so once again. Wisconsin lawmakers, meanwhile, are continuing to push for a deal that would simplify income tax filing for Wisconsinites who work in Minnesota or vice versa. Sarah Lear has more.
For more than 40 years, an agreement allowed people who crossed the Minnesota-Wisconsin border for work to file one income tax return instead of two. But Minnesota ended that deal in 2010 because of delayed payments from Wisconsin. Republican Representative Shannon Zimmerman is the author of a bill that would commission a study into the effects of striking another deal. He acknowledged Minnesota has been offering a tax credit since 2017 to its residents who work in Wisconsin. But Zimmerman, who represents a border district in northwest Wisconsin, says he's hopeful a study will kickstart cooperation.
Minnesota's urgency may not be the same as ours, but it still needs to get done.
Wisconsin's Department of Revenue Secretary says a study ordered by the legislature is the wrong way to go about a process that must be negotiated between the executive branches of each state. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up in today's Wisconsin Life, we'll tackle the tricky task of baking bread. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about the tricky act of baking a loaf of bread.
The simple, wholesome act of baking a loaf of bread can fill your kitchen with warm aromas and quiet your mind. That is, unless you're writer BJ Hollers. For him, it's a little more complicated.
Every now and again, on some late November dawn, as the ice crackles along the kitchen window, I find myself drawn to the leisurely pursuit of baking a loaf of bread. Not by hand, but by following the bread machine's foolproof step-by-step instructions. I measure flour, water, sugar, and dry milk into their proper portions, and then, as instructed in step number 8, use two fingers to create a small well within the bread machine's mixing barrel, into which I pour 2 teaspoons of yeast. Shut the lid, press start, and 3 hours later, I've got bread. But on this morning, 3 hours later, all I've got is a problem. In my burst of baking zeal, I'd forgotten to insert the mixing blade into the bottom of the bread barrel. The result? A sludgy pile of unmixed dough that neither looks nor tastes like bread. Grumbling, I dump my muck and prepare to start anew. I reach once more for the flour, only this time, having squandered most of it, I fall far short of the necessary 4 cups. No matter, I think, I'll simply drive the mile to my parents' house to borrow a bit of theirs. Upon my arrival, I decide not to wake them. Instead, I cat-burgle my way through their front door, silently rifle through their cabinets, and discover their own meager flour supply. I steal all of it, but that still leaves me 2 cups short. No matter, I think, I in the shortfall, I'll simply text my neighbors asking if I might borrow a few cups from them. Within minutes, they reply that regrettably they are out of town, which I realize is not the same as not having any. I briefly consider cat burgling their home as well. What's one more B&E alongside the rest? My quest continues at the gas station, where, in desperation, I purchase a $5 bag of flour. Now, flush with flour, I attempt to restore order to the universe by cat-burgling my way back into my parents' house, this time to return the stolen flour. The task complete, I return home so that I might begin again the leisurely pursuit of baking bread. I whirlwind through the instructions, and then, while lost in the hypnotic churning of dough, I consider the many humiliations I've endured before breakfast. How I managed to turn a 1-second oversight into an hour-long adventure that cost me more time and money than any loaf of bread could ever be worth. The irony is that I have no need for bread. Our bread box overflows with more multigrain and split-top wheat than any carb-loving family could ever enjoy. Had I done nothing this morning, I'd have managed a more favorable outcome. Any number of aphorisms might speak to my failed baking experience. Measure twice, cut once. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And on the subject of stolen flour, possession is 9/10 of the law. But the lesson I most need is the one I'm most reluctant to hear. How, in my attempt to engage in some societally agreed upon leisurely activity, I'm left more anxiety ridden than ever. Until people like me learn to start viewing leisurely activities as an essential part of life rather than an indulgence, we risk falling victim to another aphorism, burning the candle at both ends. I can't help but feel some kinship with that bread machine. Both of us are hell-bent on trying to reap a reward through constant churning. Yet on this fateful morning, after 3 hours of bread machine surveillance, I notice something new. The mixing blade churns intermittently rather than continually, meaning that for the bread to rise to its full potential, it requires both motion and rest. Work has its place, but so must leisure. The recipe calls for both.
B.J. Hollers is a writer, author, and assistant professor of creative writing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. The producers for the show today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll be right back in your podcast feed bright and early Monday morning. So until then, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.